Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Well, let's start the insanity. Giddy up.
New York Bozo! New York!
Yes, will I make it through the show without spilling bourbon on myself? We shall see. One of those disappointing wins, that's the words of Aaron Rodgers in his on-field post-game interview. The Packers pushing past the persistent Panthers tonight at Lambeau Field. 24-16 was the final score. I am Zach Rapport, dialing it in from Albuquerque, New Mexico. This is the APC Podcast Rapid Recap Show. Two schlitz to the wind, that's what we are. Here right now, definitely. And I am joined a trio this time, some familiar faces. First by Tex Western. How are you, man?
Well, I don't even know. That game was, that second half was something to behold. Just a damn good thing that there was some good play in the first quarter or so. And I was drinking a little bit by the end of the second half.
We are also joined by someone who's forever bummed that we're not doing this on Discord. Sorry, Matub. His name is Matt, but you can call him Matub. How are you, man?
I'm good. I'm the only sober person on this show, actually. I'm three sips in.
Normally, your post-game deal is a brown alcohol when the Packers are victorious.
Yes, sir.
Tex and I have carried the torch here for a couple weeks, and we came ready to party here. And what are you drinking? What's going on here? What is this?
Okay, so Tex and I actually discussed this pre-show. I was really craving a beer, so I found a loophole. I'm currently drinking a Dragon's Milk Reserve. So it's a beer from New Belgium.
New Holland.
Yeah. New Holland, thank you. I get my new European countries confused. It is aged in a bourbon barrel. So it is a brown liquor-esque. And that beer is as dark as the day is long.
You know, well, we'll have to run that up the chain and see see if it flies. I support it, but you
I'll
know,
allow
it's,
it.
it's not up to me.
I mean, we could also not call this my victory whiskey, and I could still just go like take a quick little nip.
You're fine.
And call it good.
This is no peer pressure environment. I'm just razzing you. All right, well, we are toasting, I guess, but it's not the jubilant tone text that we thought we'd be striking when we were planning this thing around halftime. The game started, of course, touchdown, 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 bullseye, awesome, just falling asleep watching a total blowout. Then after that, punt, 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 field goal, punt. Fast start, but Carolina defense clamps down. Tex, I was led to believe that the Panthers defense was pretty bad. They clamped down, sacked Rodgers, I believe, four times. What the hell happened to this offense in the second half?
Man, the offensive line forgot how to pass block, I guess. I think that's probably the biggest thing that I took away from that second half. Brian Burns, pretty good player. A lot of Packers fans wanted him in the draft last year instead of Rashawn Gary, and he had a pretty solid game. Two sacks, I think. Lucas Patrick had just a awful day at the office. And the Packers just decided not to throw the ball deep at all, which was weird. So, yeah, kind of a weird LaFleur game. Aaron Jones was really good, and then they didn't give him the ball a whole lot in the second half. And it just seemed like everything kind of just was very difficult to understand after halftime.
You mentioned Aaron Jones and as well Matt LaFleur. Is it a game plan thing, a play calling thing? What did happen there? Because I believe that Aaron Jones had something like 112 rushing yards in the first half, and he finished with 145, which is a great total. But when you do the math, that's not a lot of production there in the second half, and his name did not get called a lot.
No, and the running game was really effective in the first half, and Carolina's run defense does not, you know, is not particularly good. Their pass defense hadn't been particularly good either. So, you know, those first couple drives in the third quarter, it seemed like, you know, Jones was kind of an afterthought. Also, the Panthers particularly not good defending pass catching running backs. And I would have practically sold my soul for a screen pass somewhere along the line in that third quarter, especially when, you know, after a drive or two, when the offense hadn't been getting anything going, that would have been.
You should probably specify a screen pass to Aaron Jones.
I'm sorry. You are correct. A screen pass to a running back rather than a smoke screen to a receiver. Thank you. That definitely needs clarification, because there were way too many of those damn plays yet again. So, yeah, that it just the usage was weird. I know he finished with 20 carries, but it felt like, you know, that it wasn't a consistent workload for him throughout the game. And yeah, I was just getting a little frustrated by the end of it, because it just didn't seem like things were clicking.
Matub, smoke screens to a receiver on the outside for getting ankle tackled for a 1 yard gain. What's not to love doing that like six times in a game? Come on.
You know what I love is when it's very apparent early in the game that the Panthers' biggest strength is their DB's ability to catch or to tackle. So what we do is we make the DB's tackle. But to be fair, with the Panthers' D-line eating the O-line's lunch the whole game, you can't really dial up deep shots. They only did once, and MVS kind of faded his route a little bit too much, so... What are you going to do?
Yeah. Tex, what was the read on this Carolina defense coming into this game? Because I hadn't heard lore of their like wondrous pass rush coming into this game. I mean, you mentioned some guys, but Zach Rogers five times? I think it was four. But they were creating a lot of pressure. And even early on when the Packers were doing well, they were still generating a lot of pressure. It's not at all what I expected.
No, not at all. And... No, the book on Carolina's defense was that they were not good really in any facet of the game. I think they came in 27th in adjusted sack rate. And Brian Burns was like the only guy with more than 10 pressures this season, I think, on that team or something ridiculous like that. So, and it wasn't just him having a good day. I mean, he beat Bach a couple times pretty badly. There was one where he just had a tremendous bend and just dipped right below a shoulder level blow from Bakhtiari and got around and got a hit on Rodgers. But it was Lucas Patrick getting eaten alive through much of this game. It kind of calls into question what the best five linemen really is on this team. Does John Runyon belong in that mix? I think you can make the argument that, especially after this game, that he deserves a little more playing time moving forward.
Yeah. Let's switch sides, talk about the defense a little bit. I expected a high-scoring game, honestly, with Carolina having kind of a sneaky, efficient offense and quite publicly, as we've discussed, a bad defense. But it was just the opposite, and I would be remiss if I didn't give, you know, I like to drag Patton basically every week on this show. It's a bit of a pastime. Pretty much any Packers podcast, I think, it's a pastime to drag Patton. Giving up 16 points in this game, I think, is really good. I thought the pass defense was really, really good. I want to give a shout out to guys like Amos, Savage, Sullivan, all having pass breakups. Amos having a couple, I think.
Amos had a pretty great that diving one that was a surefire catch. The Packers, I think it was it Paul Badger Noonan who posted the Teddy's like expected completion percentage versus his actual. His expected was like over 70 and his actual was 45 at one point. So the defense was playing lights out.
Well, and there was one sequence where three plays back to back to back, there were pass breakups. I think it was Amos, Sullivan, and then Amos again. To force a punt. And I couldn't tell you the last time the Packers defense got their hands on the football on three plays in a row and broke up three straight passes. That was a great sequence. And they were good in the red zone again. I think they held the Panthers to one out of four, one touchdown on four opportunities in the red zone. So Hats off on that one as well. Although granted, now that I'm thinking about it, one of them was also the one where they just kicked that field goal as soon as they got into field goal range, right before the 2 minute warning. Yeah. So I don't know that we really can count that one for the defense.
Yeah. But speaking of get your hands on the ball, Chris Mutombo Barnes, shout out for poking the ball out on, I don't know. I guess I'm a little reticent to call a QB sneak from like the half yard line a foolish call. But when you expect Teddy Bridgewater, old one knee Teddy Bridgewater, to jump over the line to get a touchdown. But big props to Barnes for knocking that out and Kevin King for scooping it up.
I remember very specifically pre-draft on SB Nation back when Matt Ufford was still part of SB Nation. He talked about Teddy, I think. Like, people were talking about Teddy as a dual threat quarterback, and Teddy had something like 100 rushing yards in his college career.
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder why he would get categorized as
why did Teddy Roosevelt get that moniker?
Ooh, I like that.
You've never heard Teddy Roosevelt?
No.
Dude, I say it all the time.
I'm running the wrong internet circles.
He had a pretty effective game rushing the ball in this game, though. I think he had 4 carries, 26 yards, and one of those was a 13-yard touchdown. Moved the chains a couple times, and yeah, I mean, certainly the Packers weren't keeping a spy out for him because you don't expect him to really hurt you with his legs. But yeah, he's got just enough wiggle left in those knees and those ligaments that are still intact that he hurt him a little bit. And that touchdown was a nice run, granted. You know, the middle of the defense parted like the Red Sea, but that was a frustrating sequence as well.
Yeah, here I am giving Patton props, and those particular plays were ones where I was like, Patton, wiggly knees, huh? That's what we're going with.
Sure, why not?
Hey, fun fact. I just looked up Teddy Bridgewater's athletic profile on Mock Draftable. If you search by athlete comparison, he is 99% Patrick Mahomes.
Huh.
If you search by QB, Patrick Mahomes is not even in the top 10. So I don't understand how
some of those comparisons that they have in there just don't track. It's hilarious. Like, one of the funniest ones is DK Metcalf. Nobody is within like 60% of his athletic profile.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's fun. So DK Metcalf is interesting because had he not run the three cone or any of the agility drills, he would have been on Calvin Johnson.
Hmm.
Hey, actually, to loop it back into this game, I looked up DK Metcalf. His number 3 comparison is Brian Burns.
Well, there you go. 2 sacks tonight.
Huh.
So DK Metcalf with 2 sacks, one unblocked.
As long as we're going with non sequiturs here, at least to bring it back to the Packers, what was that personal foul on Devontae Adams? What was that? What happened?
I heard he accidentally kicked chin in the hang down.
Oh, gotcha. In the hang down. Oh.
So yeah, when I was watching the replay, I thought maybe it was because he kind of chucked the football in, I don't know, excitement or frustration or something, but that would make a lot more sense.
Yeah.
So yeah, chin caught him from behind, and apparently when he got up, he stepped on his bojangles.
Gotta watch those bojangles, man.
Sorry, guys. I'm drinking an 11% beer here, and this is the first bit of alcohol I've had in a week. So
we're doing great. We are doing great. We're doing Packers in the third quarter great right about now. Wonderful. I had a couple of friends who wondered if maybe there was like some trash talking going on, and I'm like, I'm pretty sure that his mouth guard was in the whole time, so I just didn't know what happened at all.
Wow, look at the big flex from Zach with the friends.
All right, it was my dog.
Sonny's a great friend.
Can confirm from personal experience.
Oh yeah, I think he nipped at your heel a little bit there. Yeah. He's a healer.
That's right.
Punt versus touchdown ratio watch. Where do we stand there? This was not a great game for that.
No. Punt versus touchdown ratio lost this game. Yeah. It lost in the third quarter.
Yeah. So what's the, do you have a total in front of you or no?
No, I just saw Zach Cruz tweeted, the exact punt that killed the ratio. And it was sometime in the third quarter.
Yeah.
Also, Aaron Rodgers with, I believe that's a yards per attempt below 5 in this game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Again, no downfield passes at all. At one point, they said his average air yards per attempt was like 4.6 at some point in the second half.
It was 4.5. Yeah.
Like,
what do we attribute that to? Is that a game plan thing on the Packers side, or is that for some weird reason Carolina having a secondary in one game?
Yeah.
Well, update from Matt LaFleur as of 55 seconds ago, according to him in his post game, probably got away from the run a little bit too much.
Probably.
Well, I think part of it was that they didn't seem like they used a whole lot of play action in this game.
Yeah.
I didn't feel like that was as big of a portion of the game plan as it normally is. And that's where they hit on a lot of those deep shots and those big plays is, you know, you suck up a safety, get him biting on the play fake a little bit, and you know, you create some room over the top. Or, you know, you get the tight ends going on some deep crossers or something like that. And there just really wasn't any of that in this game. And it's been such a big part of this team's identity this season that it just confuses me that that wouldn't be something that they would use. Now, the one time late in the game that they did use it was on that third down when they're trying to pick up a first down and kill the clock. And, you know, Rodgers gets taken down for a sack by an unblocked Brian Burns.
Oops.
So I was actually calling for play action on that second down coming right out of the 2-minute warning. I thought that would have been the ideal time to give it a shot. And then, you know, if it's not there, you know, get Rodgers on a bootleg. And then if it's not there, you have him run for a couple yards and slide and keep the clock running. But, yeah, that whole sequence, you know, right around the 2-minute warning at the end of the game, I would have liked to have seen a play action pass on either first or second down instead.
Did you see my play call beyond play action on that second down?
I did not.
I said that was the perfect time for a flea flicker.
Well, they had 10 guys in the box.
Yeah, they had 10 guys in the box. That's when you do a flea flicker.
Yeah. speaking of flea flicker, let's talk about how there were a number of ways in which the Panthers actually could have won this game if they were just a little bit better, including the timing of that trick play near the end of the game where they try to get Bridgewater running out in space and he just like collides with his wide receiver and can't make a play.
I don't know what Matt Rhule was thinking. I don't know if he was just getting a little too crazy there at the end of the game because this team has nothing to lose or what, but it's, you know, it's not like they weren't moving the football. They hadn't scored a lot of points, but they were moving the ball pretty well. So why you feel like you need to resort to that when, I mean, Carolina outgained Green Bay 364 yards to 291 in this game. Moving the ball was not the issue. So I don't know if it was a thing of a factor of they hadn't had red zone success and they felt like they needed to try something a little bit different or what, but yeah, that was a little ugly, but a couple of those plays too, there was a couple of end arounds, reverses and things. And I thought the Packers actually did a really good job of sniffing those out and kind of staying home, on some of the jet motion and some of the end arounds and stuff.
Yeah. Though I just think that the Panthers, their receivers dropped a lot of easy balls. I think Bridgewater threw a couple ducks as well, but I really think that a few of those plays go a different way. The Packers could have easily lost this game, and this is a team that you should plaster. So I guess as we sort of round third base on this podcast here, I'm wondering if we're at all worried based on how this game ended up going down in the second half. Are we worried as we head into the rest of the season?
I question. We say that the Panthers are a bad team and they should have been plastered. The Panthers have had one score games against other good teams.
Fair point.
So I'm looking at the Panthers lost by 10 to Arizona. They lost by 3 to the Saints.
Arizona is quietly a bad team, though, but I'll keep going.
I don't want to see Kyler Murray in the playoffs, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah.
Well, that's fair, but that's because we have Mike Pettine. So,
correct.
So, okay, so ignoring the Arizona score, Kansas City needed late game heroics to beat them by two, and they only lost by a field goal to the Saints. So like they're hanging around with good teams.
All right.
So maybe, I don't know, but no,
so you're not worried.
Teams was up by 18 at any point in those games.
So the Packers want to win out to cement the number one seed, and you are not worried based on the outcome of this game.
This game doesn't worry me as much as it's worrying everyone else. I'm still not happy about it, but I'm not ready to fire the front office. I still want to fire Mike Pettine and Sean Meninga, but that's just my brand at this point.
Yeah, I mean, for me, the first 20, 25 minutes of this game was everything you expected to see. The offense was clicking. It was, you know, it was moving the ball with some chunk plays. The defense was doing a great job. And then it was just kind of, it felt like they were beating themselves a little bit. There were some drops. I think Devontae probably had two that better be classified as drops in this week's analysis. Yeah. And just a few mistakes in execution, like the receiver screen to Lazard, where Bob Tonyan is matched up against a cornerback and lets him slip by his block and tackle Lazard for a no gain. You know, that play, if he gets his block, that's actually blocked up well. You get two guys on two tacklers, and Lazard, you know, should have a pretty free release to at least pick up a first down. So there were some execution issues. If they can get those cleaned up, I think that, you know, that the offense will be fine. Tennessee's defense is no better, I think, than Carolina's is. So I expect that the Packers will have a better offensive performance throughout the game next week. I just kind of can't help shaking the feeling that, you know, once they got up big, they kind of just thought, okay, we're going to coast the rest of the way. And they, you know, they were able to hold on for a win, and, you know, in a situation where, you know, they just kind of took the foot off the gas and,
yeah,
you know, and just coasted a little bit. So no more break, no fucking break here, Matt.
I've enjoyed the, did you mean to continue the car analogy throughout that entire sentence?
I did, yeah.
Okay. I was like, foot off the gas, coasting. I was like, okay, I'm following this.
He just, you know, he just found his lane and he was in cruise control the whole way.
He really steered the conversation.
That's what, oof, I appreciate about you guys.
Yeah, really, is that what you appreciate about us?
Oh boy.
Oh my God. I don't know. I got nothing else to say about this game.
This was okay. Actually, as a matter of fact, I keep following the live quotes from the presser. And I think that Matt LaFleur said it absolutely the best that anyone can put this. You'd rather come out of this with a win and have stuff to clean up than be on the other side of this thing.
Yeah. You know, the thing that I'm thinking about that, though, and Tex, I was thinking about this as you were talking too through your car analogy. But, you know, the physical stuff, the execution stuff, like you can, like, yeah, you can clean that up, but as well, I think that they just took the foot off the gas and coasted, and not just from a coaching perspective, but also from a player perspective.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that worries me down the stretch going into the playoffs is a team that gets a little bit too comfortable when they start doing their, like, I love gold and all this stuff. They're up, you know, 21-3, whatever. And I don't know. I feel like we've seen it a couple times and I'm a little worried about
what if, what if this is not a bad game by the Packers, but a great game by the Panthers in second half adjustments? What if the Packers knew early on that they weren't going to be able to take many deep shots because for whatever reason, Lucas Patrick forgot how to play football? And so what if this ends up being this tale of Rule knew how to make good second half adjustments and the Packers just tried to continue to play the game that made them successful in the first half, but they just couldn't execute because the Panthers adjusted to it?
Well, Martell, I don't deal in hypotheticals. So, no, I think both things can be true at the same time.
Look, I'm almost done with my beer, so I'm incredibly optimistic at this point.
And we're almost out of show here. Tex, you have any closing thoughts based on that?
I'll go in a different direction and just mention that I think it's very interesting that Chris Barnes now appears to be the starting middle linebacker and Tom Silverstein has gotten his way this week. So LaFleur mentioned it a little bit this in his postgamer here again this afternoon or this evening that they moved Kirksey basically to the Will linebacker spot. So it sounds like Barnes is probably the mic for, you know, for the next week. And you might be seeing him, you know, dominate the linebacker snaps. And I thought he played pretty well for the most part. I mean, again, he had that tremendous Dikembe swat of, you know, of Bridgewater at the goal line, but he made a couple other nice plays in the running game as well. So it's been fun to watch him start to develop a little bit and get a little more playing time.
Yeah, he gets up the field fast. It's pretty exciting.
Yeah.
Do you think he plays with an eye patch?
Wait, oh, did he get poked in the eye? What happened?
He's listed as questionable with an eye.
Ooh, questionable with an eye. That's is that better or worse than out with a fractured throat?
If you didn't say it, I was going to.
You know what, though? I have escaped my morbid curiosity. I never Googled that. I'm still safe.
I still don't understand how he was able to call out protections for the rest of that game last week. That blows my mind.
Could you play with a voice box?
Who knows?
Anytime anything is lacerated or ruptured or punctured, that's no good. But throat. It's usually the like the action word that creeps me out, but throat is just, I don't know. Just gives me the willies, man.
No thanks. No all right, thanks.
Well, I think that is a show as we are all at the tail ends of our drinks and our evening here, depending on what time zone we are in. I'm going to move my finger closer to the outro music on my board here, so I know exactly where it is. At the APC Pod on Twitter. Follow us there. Matub, you are on Twitter at
Call Me Matub.
And at Tex Western?
Yes, sir.
I always forget that. At Zach Rapport as well. Subscribe, like, steal your grandma's phone. Subscribe to us on there. She'll never know. Tap that 5-star review button real quick. The Packers emerge victorious, a disappointing victory, according to Aaron Rodgers, as we hit the outro music. 24-16 at Lambeau Field. Persistent Panthers. You like that alliteration, guys? I thought it was good.